morning. Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. Welcome to all of you who are joining us in person. It's so good to have you here with us this morning, and also welcome to those who are tuning in online. It's a really exciting morning to be here, and I do say that every week, but I especially mean it this week. We have a really exciting guest speaker with us, and I just really think you guys are going to enjoy the service this morning, and it's going to be a great time of worship together as well. So I'll invite you to stand, and we'll just pray and welcome God and the Holy Spirit here with us this morning, and we'll dive into worship. God, thank you so much for this opportunity you've given us this morning to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and worship you this morning, Father. We just want to welcome your Spirit and say, do what you want to in our hearts this morning, Father. We are here and ready to hear from you, Father, and would you just be honored and glorified through our worship together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stirs your soul. What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you will joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with hurting. You're still alive and breathing. Praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. The years roll by. Wonder why we lost our way from home. A father finds a child inside. We left for growing old. Awake, awake, awake my soul. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with a hurting. Heart still alive and breathing. Praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. Still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord.
Let everything
in the working,
let everything
in the waiting,
let everything
let it praise the Lord.
Let everything
in the blessing,
let everything
in the breaking,
let everything
let it praise the Lord.
Let everything
in the dying,
let everything
in the rising,
let everything
let it praise the still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with hurting. You're still alive and breathing. Praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. Still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You can have a seat for a minute. So I have a few announcements before we jump back into worship. This is a really exciting time of year. I like the fall because the colors are super pretty and it's a beautiful time. The weather's still nice. The only thing that's a little bit nerve-wracking about the fall is we know winter's coming like next week. So enjoy it very, very much. Enjoy it. The other thing I like about it is just that we get to start some of the rhythms that are really meaningful and valuable. And so we do have our life groups and Freedom in Christ starting up in the next couple weeks. We've got four life groups happening and then also the Freedom in Christ. And in a minute, I'm going to show, just that'll be the last week, I'm going to show the two promo videos for Freedom in Christ and life group. And if you haven't already signed up, I would encourage you to do so. The beauty of a life group is that you're in someone's home with a small group of people, usually drinking nice coffee and eating a brownie, and wrestling through what the scriptures mean and how to apply them to life. And it's a really great atmosphere just to wrestle through what does it look like to be a Jesus follower today in real life. And so we'll be showing those in a minute. And before we do, last week I said that we weren't able to do the barbecue that we had planned, but we called the Thunder Bay District Health Unit, and we actually are allowed to do a barbecue this week. So pretty excited about that. I included that in the email, but if you didn't get it and you want to help, Jeremy at the back here, he's scratching his head like a scholar. So talk to Jeremy if you want to. On Tuesday night between 7 and 9, we're going to be passing out invitations here in the neighborhood. That's usually when we meet for prayer, but we'll be praying, and then we're going to go out and invite a whole bunch of people. And then for the barbecue on Wednesday, it starts at 5:30. And we're going to have there's going to be a bonfire, there's going to be games for kids, and it's going to be just a big, fun celebration time for the community. So love for you to come, even if you just want to come get a hot dog and sit around the fire. But if you want to help out, come talk to Jeremy, and we'll do that. So we'll play these two. It's the Freedom in Christ and then the Life Group promo video, and then I'll remind you where you can sign up.
The truth that I'm significant, you know, I'm worth something. The Freedom in Christ experience brought those truths to life.
It's more than material, it's more than a seminar, it's more than just one discipleship group. It really is a lifestyle of embracing freedom on a regular basis.
I've been proclaiming the Word of God, and I've been on the streets talking to people, leading people to Christ, and it's just been amazing.
Well, welcome to Freedom in Christ. The purpose of this course is to help you live as the person God created you to be and do all the things He's prepared in advance for you to do. Have you ever put on one of these? It's a virtual reality headset. And the idea is that...
Today we're going to be looking at the world's view of truth.
We're going to be talking about choosing to believe what God says is true.
Who sets you free is God. What sets you free is your response to Him and repentance and faith. So we're going to have this great privilege.
And being significant and being secure.
This course is the best decision I've made. I'm a new person by doing it. It's changed me completely.
It's just truth. Truth is what you get out of it.
Your eyes will be open.
Everything God wants from His church is in His call to love God and love others. Nowhere is this love better expressed than in the obedience of the commands of Jesus to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey all He taught. The gathered and scattered church is the means God has chosen to accomplish this work of redeeming and restoring the world. The gathering happens primarily on Sundays as we come together to sit under God's Word, receive communion, baptize new believers, and enjoy friendships with other Jesus followers. Scattering is every other moment that God gives us life and breath, It's the eating, sleeping, working, and playing of life. It's grocery stores, coffee shops, and ice rinks. It's doctor's appointments, haircuts, and a million other things. The question is how we embody discipleship in these everyday rhythms of life. Our answer to this is life groups. Life groups are where we help each other apply God's word to our lives. Life groups are where we hold each other up in prayer. Life groups are where we learn the stories of the people around us and where they learn ours as well. In life groups, leaders are raised up, the gifts God has given each of us are most fully expressed, and disciples of Jesus are made. In life groups, we love God and love others. This is what obedience to Jesus looks like. Not more stuff to do, but becoming intentional in the stuff we already do. Giving our lives to Jesus means sharing our lives with each other. And at Transformation, that means life groups.
So yes, I would love for you to be involved in those. If you haven't taken Freedom in Christ, that is a course that Gene leads in the fall. And if you wanted to do that before joining a life group, that'd be a really great idea. And the sign-up sheet is at the back. And then the life groups, one of the things I always tell people, if you had to choose, if you only had one day a week that you could go to something and it was going to be church or a life group, start with a life group. Because at a life group is where you're going to be interacting and asking questions and wrestling through what the scriptures mean and how to apply them to life. And it's usually with a great group of people in a home with coffee and lots of laughter. And it's great. So you can sign up at the back, and we're going to send out some messages this week to get those started and let you know kind of where each of them is going to be. And so you can stay up to date with that. And again, our offering is pretty much all online now. And so if you're prepared to give, you can do that online. I think there's instructions there, and there is a basket at the back if you want to do that. And I always like to remind people, we're not, as a church, we're not in it for the money. If you didn't come prepared to give, don't feel pressure to do so. For those of us that do, we give because we feel like we're called to be a part of this mission God's called us to here in the city. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have Lori come up and read us a passage of scripture before we jump into back into worship. God, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we can gather together and just worship you. And God, we love you. You're awesome. And Lord, even if there's people here even wrestling with whether they believe in you or not, I just pray there'd be a special sense of your presence today, God. You are an awesome God. You are an all-powerful God. And I just pray that there would be a real sense of you here with us today. I pray you bless this offering, that it would go into furthering the work you've called us to here in this community and in this city. We want to be a blessing in the city that we're in. And so we just pray for your favor. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite Lori up, and she's going to read us a passage of scripture before we jump in.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, and this is Jesus speaking. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my commandment. Love each other.
You can stand with us again as we continue in worship.
I'm falling.
nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater, so what could say? For your powerful name that is at work in our hearts and lives this morning. We just want to welcome your presence here, and God, we just want to offer our hearts up to you. God, please open our hearts and our ears this morning to whatever it is you want to teach us and do in our hearts and our lives. I pray that you would bless the message this morning, God, that it would really deeply impact our hearts this morning. So be with Pastor Eric. I pray that you would bless him and the words that are coming from your scripture and about this beautiful church that we get to be a part of, brothers and sisters in you, God. Thank you so much, and bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
All the time? You know, it's cool to be able to gather and worship God, who is all-powerful, in the midst of all of this chaos and craziness and confusion. We do live in a time that there is a lot of that. And just while we were worshiping this morning, I was just thinking it's such an awesome opportunity to gather with other people and just praise God, who is all-powerful and who never gets nervous. Like, he never scratches his head and goes, "What's going on? What am I going to do?" He's really good. It's an honor to be able to introduce Eric, who is my boss. He doesn't love being called that, but he actually is. And if you've been a part of Transformation for these past few years, you know we're a new church. It's a church plant, and it's a Wesleyan church, which we don't talk about a ton. Most of you that have been around for a while know that. But when I was growing up, I wasn't a part of a denomination or the Wesleyan church. And God called me to go to Bible school later in life. I was 26, and Vicky and I had four kids at the time. And while I was there, I studied Wesleyan theology and just really felt like God calling me to join with this denomination. So this is on the East Coast. And by the time I finished, God had made it clear for for our family to move to Thunder Bay to lead this church plant with Hannah and Tyler, and Jeremy was there in these early days as well. And then he went home for a bit, and then he repented and came back to Thunder Bay. So we're glad to have him back. And that was on the East Coast, and this part of Canada is the Central Canada District of the Wesleyan Church, and I have been really blessed to be a part of this. And Eric has been a part of the team and now leads the team that welcomed our family to come here and to lead this plant with our team, and they have been incredibly supportive. Eric coached me for a year, and that was a huge blessing, and so I just feel really honored to be a part of this team. And what I'm excited about today is that you're going to hear the heart behind what it means to be a part of this denomination, which is the focus is Jesus. And I'm excited that Eric's going to share what he's sharing, because in Thunder Bay, there are not a lot of Wesleyan churches. And so usually when I tell people, I feel like people are like, is that a cult? Because they haven't even heard of like what a Wesleyan church is. And I'm like, and I usually downplay it. I'm like, no, we love Jesus and we believe the scriptures and we want to tell the world about him and we want to be a transforming presence in our community. So Eric's going to answer all of those questions today about what it means to be a part of it. It's what in the world is a Wesleyan. So I'm really glad that he's here and honored, and you'll be blessed as well. So I encourage you to lean in and listen for what the Lord might speak to you as Eric shares with us from the Word. So come on up.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. What a joy to be with all of you today. This is my second trip to Thunder Bay. I was here 3 years ago on opening day, right here in this building. It was opening day. It was beautiful weather, just like this weekend. I was texting with my buddy in Orlando that I grew up with, a Canadian guy who defected down to Orlando, and this is my second trip. I told him I'm in Thunder Bay, and he, being from Orlando and being a Canadian, he said, ha-ha, is it snowing up there yet? Say hi to Santa Claus, you know, kind of deal. And I just said, no, man. I said, as global warming continues to hit, Thunder Bay is the place to be, right? I just said, you guys are going to be underwater in Florida, and we're just going to be loving life up here in Thunder Bay. So, I set him straight, okay, that this is the place to be. And so thank you for the opportunity to be with you. And thank you, Pastor Nathan. I'm going to share a little bit about Pastor Nathan. He's, as you know, very, very special. I've got some hometown ties with Jeremy, as was mentioned. And Tyler, his dad and I, that's the age. Some of you know this about like age, right? A little bit. I won't look at anybody specifically. I'll just kind of look like this. But some of you know this about age. All of a sudden, all your friends are somebody's dad or granddad, right? And so Tyler's dad and I went to high school together. So it's kind of a wild, kind of crazy small world that way. So am I waving at, are these the pastor's kids up here? Up here. Hey, right on, guys. Good to see you guys. I have pastor's kids, and they still love me after all those years. You love your dad, right? And your mom? Yeah, fantastic. Right on. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, thanks so much, you guys. And for all the children that have been part of the deal today, they've been awesome. So kids must just be better here. Is that the idea? In Thunder Bay, kids are just better in this part of the woods. Well, it's fantastic. John Wooden is regarded as the greatest, speaking of age, he's regarded as the greatest basketball coach of all time. And some of you may or may not be basketball fans, but if you go back to the 1960s, he started coaching the UCLA Bruins, the University of California, Los Angeles Bruins. And they won 10 national championships. And so all the coaches, he died at about 97 years old, just a couple years ago, he passed away. But many of his players still talk about him, and he's legendary as a coach. Every year in the autumn, he would begin the very first practice. Every year he would do this the same way for the 20 or so years he was the coach of the team. He would have every player, before they'd pick up a basketball, before they would dribble, before they would shoot, before they'd be playing the game, He'd have every player sit down. He'd put them over on the bleachers, and he'd have them sit down. And this is very first practice. And these are the best high school ball players in the world, right? And he had them sit down. He would have them take off their sneakers and their socks. And so here they are barefoot on the bleachers, right? And he'd have them take off their socks and their sneakers. And the very first thing he would teach those basketball players, it wasn't about shooting, it wasn't about passing, it wasn't about dribbling, it wasn't about strategy, it wasn't about a chalk talk, it was none of that. He would teach them how to put on their socks every year. The same lesson at the beginning of the year. We're going to learn. He would teach them, literally, he would say, you pull the sock this way around the little toe, right? And he would have them put the socks on, and then he would show them how to properly tie their sneakers, their basketball shoes. And he would teach them how to tie the basketball shoes. Now, he did this because what he understood was you begin with the basics, especially in the autumn. You get back to basics in the autumn. And so what he would do, he would teach them this. Now, why did he start there? Because he knew that if his player got a blister, his player wasn't going to play. It wouldn't matter how much they knew about basketball. It wouldn't matter how much they knew about how to shoot, dunk the ball, play, whatever. If they got a blister, they weren't going to be able to play as well. And so he would begin with the basics. He would be right there, and he would review it year after year. They needed to know these basics about basketball. And many people think, oh, basketball, you don't pay attention to your socks and your shoes. Well, you sure do if you want to win a national championship. If you want to be the best, you're going to pay attention to the basics. And so today, I want to talk about the basics of the network of churches that we're a part of. And I am so grateful for you here at Thunder Bay being a part of this network. As Pastor has mentioned, we are a group called the Wesleyan Church. John Wesley was a guy that lived from around about the early 1700s till the late 1700s, the majority of that century, and he founded what was called the Methodist Church. And so from that movement, it comes this, we're a cousin, we're a branch on that Methodist tree is who we are as Wesleyans. And so today, I want to imitate Coach Wooden with you, okay? I'm not going to ask you to take your shoes and socks off because that might not be what you prepared to do today here at church, and it might not. I mean, we have masks. I mean, we could maybe, you know, we could put our masks on. It wouldn't be as bad a thing. But no, literally, we won't take our shoes and socks off, but let's go back to basics. And if you're watching online, let's just take some time today and let's go back to the basics of what it means. And so we're part of a network. I've said to Pastor all these last couple years, I've said, you know what? Transformation Thunder Bay isn't just a church. God's actually birthing a network out of this church. This church is going to see more churches started. Somehow God's going to begin to see more churches started even in this region from the seeds of what's happening in here. But we're a part of a bigger network called the Wesleyan Church. So what in the world is a Wesleyan Church? The basics. What in the world is a Wesleyan Church? Why is it here? And what would be missing in this community if it didn't exist? Because I think it's pretty special. And I think God's doing something among all of you. I'm so grateful for your pastor. As I mentioned, it's my second visit here. He took me on a hike yesterday. It was a hike that involved hitting a little white ball, and then you'd hike some more. And it was, and then we'd hit the little white ball. We hit the little white ball a lot yesterday. The object of hitting the little white ball is to try not to hit it as many times, but I think we changed that around. I think you guys need to give your dad and I golf lessons, I think, is what's going to have to happen. So we had, you know, this man, God has called him in a special way. And we're going to talk about how God has called all of us, right, in this time. But he is so special, and I'm so grateful for this chance to be to be with you. He is the top young pastor in the whole network. And I think we should just say thank you. Thank you to God and thank you to him. Thank you to Vicky. Thank you to, you know, in so many ways. And we're just so appreciative of you guys very, very much. So back to basics, having a clear picture of what we're a part of. The scripture text I want to read from is Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And I've already seen it alluded to in the videos today and in everything that's a part of this church. Hear the word of the Lord from the scripture today. Hear the word of the Lord. It says this: Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all the people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I want to just give you four word pictures quickly this morning that correspond with this word that we call it the Great Commission. Jesus gave a commission before he ascended into heaven. So Jesus has died on the cross. He's been raised 3 days later, and then there's this 40-day period he spends time with his disciples. And just before his ascension, he gives this commissioning to his disciples to go and make disciples. And these are the basics. This is the, we're gonna learn how to tie our shoes here and put on our socks as Christians. What are we a part of in the Wesleyan Church? Well, number one, the Wesleyan Church, or a Wesleyan Church, is an embassy with a mission. I drive an hour from my home in Brockville, because that's where I'm headquartered. I drive an hour from my home in Brockville, and I can see embassies from all over the world. I can see the Russian embassy or the Chinese embassy or the United States embassy, embassies from Africa, embassies from Asia. I can see embassies from South America. You see embassies from all over the world when you go to Ottawa. What's an embassy? An embassy is the representation of a certain nation in another nation. And so they're there to represent their people in Canada. And so there they are, they're an embassy. It exists to represent that kingdom on foreign soil. A Wesleyan church and transformation in particular here in Thunder Bay, you are an embassy of heaven, and that makes each of you ambassadors. You are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. This is something where you have to kind of think differently. They're not telling you this on the CBC. They're not saying this on CNN. You're not going to find this. You're not going to find it if you're, you will find it from Christians on Facebook, but you have to go looking for it, right? The popular media, they're not going to publish about this other place called heaven, this other realm, but that's why we're here. We're an embassy. Each of you are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." What's going on? What's going on? There's a reality. It's a reality that's more real than Canada. It's a reality that's more real than the First Nations. It's a reality more real than Russia or China or Germany or name any country you want to name. There's a reality that is actually more real than those concepts, because those are concepts, right, in terms of where you're from and who, what kingdom you represent in this world, because the world has its kingdoms, right? And God is saying there's a greater kingdom. There's a kingdom called the kingdom of heaven. Everything in this world, everything that was created was thought up there. It was thought of there, and it was created from there. Many of you might be familiar with the Lord's Prayer. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, what do we pray? Thy kingdom come, So the kingdom of heaven, thy kingdom come on where? Earth as it is in. Wow, that's the reality. The reality is you're an ambassador of heaven. And I point up, heaven is a spiritual realm, and really, heaven's all around us. And oftentimes we think heaven is so distant. That's not what's going on. The reality is heaven is right here in us through Jesus, with us, with each other, and God's presence is all around us. I look at the kids, and it reminds me, when my kids came into the world, when I was in the delivery room with my wife, that was a transcendent moment, because in that moment, I knew there was something bigger than just what I could see with my eyes, or there's a bigger presence of God. God's all around us. He's not distant. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is at hand. You're citizens of this kingdom. Jesus was the original ambassador from heaven, and he authorizes our community. So like an ambassador doesn't just show up in Ottawa, right? Somebody, either the sovereign of that country or the people or the government, they authorize that person to be there as an ambassador in an embassy. Jesus has authorized all of us who follow Jesus to be in this world, not as citizens of this world, but as citizens of heaven. When you follow Jesus, when you're baptized into Jesus, I say baptism, I saw Pastor Nathan and Gene baptizing people, right? When you're baptized into Jesus, you say, I'm dying to this world, I'm being raised to new life as a citizen of heaven. You're an embassy of the kingdom of heaven. What that sense is when you are in nature and you see all the beauty, that's heaven. That's God. And God loves you more than you can ever, ever grasp. You are loved. You were chosen. You were thought of. In this moment, in this day, God sees you and loves you and knows you. And when you follow Jesus, you're a citizen. You belong to the kingdom of heaven. I was reading a while back in my devotions, the book of Revelation. And people get scared about the book of Revelation sometimes, right? Because there's lots of symbolism, and there's lots of the thoughts of, it's going to be cataclysmic at the end. It's going to be big. When big change happens, it's weird, right? I mean, the first week when they said it's a pandemic, that felt weird, didn't it? Like going into COVID, right? Now we're just experts with COVID. We wear our masks, we social distance, we touch elbows. I mean, you know, we do all those things now. But man, it was cataclysmic when we first went in. We were a bit afraid. That's like the book of Revelation. Revelation's like that. But Revelation is leading us to something phenomenal. But listen, here's the theme of the book of Revelation for when the next time you start reading it. The theme of the book of Revelation is this: live as citizens of heaven in the midst of a fallen world, or fallen Babylon. The symbolism of Babylon means the fallen world. So live as citizens of heaven. That's what you're called to do. You're an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You're an embassy of holiness, which holiness, you're going to be like, okay, what's that mean, right? Am I a holy roller, right? You're not a holy roller. Holiness means being set apart for something special. That's what it means. You're set apart. You are special in God's eyes. And those of us who get this opportunity to follow Jesus, guess what? We get to be first. We were chosen. God has looked at you and invited you to be his special first person on the job, ambassador. That's, you know, that's who you are. And so that's who we are. We're citizens and we're ambassadors. We're an embassy. Number two this morning, the Wesleyan Church, or a Wesleyan Church, is a hospital focused on the maternity ward, but we're also a hospital focused on healing of men and women. Jesus said this in John 3:3, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are," what? "Born again." Wow. Transformation, the word transformation involves a new kind of outlook, a new birth, if it were. A Wesleyan church is an embassy, but it's also a hospital. We're there to pray with people and invite them to follow Jesus, to be born again. The average person in this community, they're living their life, and you're here as the embassy, and you're the ambassadors together, right? You're the ambassadors. You're living transformed lives that are full of love, full of grace. Is your life as a Christian perfect? No. Do you have challenges? Tell me. Do you have challenges? Yeah. There's big challenges, right? But when God gets in your life, there's a new peace. There's a new love. There's a new joy. And that comes as a result of being born again spiritually. That spiritually your eyes are opened. And what are they open to? They're open to the fact that you are loved. You are actually invited not to just be a servant of God. You're invited to be in the family, to be part of the family of God in this world. That's how special you are. Born again into a new heavenly family. That changes everything. That changes the whole thing. And there's so many people that they're seeing your peace and your joy. And the people in the world, oftentimes, they're just doing their worldly things. They're making the money, chasing the fame, looking for pleasure, looking for whatever, and they're just doing world. And they're a lot of people, great people. But you know what? Eventually, something happens, that transcendent moment I talked to you about, right? Maybe a child is born into their life. Maybe it's a new marriage. Maybe they got divorced. Maybe it's the death of somebody close to them. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to let them know there's more than just what's around us in this world. That there's more than just the fact that we live and then we die. A lot of people believe that we live and then we die and that's it. That's not the deal. The deal is that transcendent moment. So somebody senses, they sense that there's got to be more. And do you know what God does? Then God brings that person in touch with you. And you get the opportunity to be that ambassador, to represent the kingdom of God. And how do you do it? Is it that you pull out a card and say, I'm with the kingdom of God? You know, and you're here. No, no, no. Do you know what it is? You know what your job is as an ambassador? It's a pretty simple job. Four letters, L-O-V-E. You love. You simply love. It really isn't complicated. I was taught a little song in Sunday school. Some of you know, Jesus loves me. Loves me. You're loved. You are loved today. And your job is to love. It's not political. It's not economical. It's just love. And you love people into the kingdom of God, and they're born again as new believers. And you don't do that work. God does that work, but God gives us that joy of walking with people into that. So transformation is a hospital with a maternity ward. Thirdly this morning, a Wesleyan church is a school. It's like a K through college maturity course is what it is. So our job isn't just to be representatives. It's not just to be in the maternity ward helping people be born again, but it's also teaching one another how to be followers of Jesus. So if you belong to the Liberal Party of Canada, you are a disciple of Mr. Trudeau. As of last month, if you belong to the Conservative Party of Canada, you are a disciple of Mr. O'Toole, and on through the different parties, right? Green Party of Ms. May and all the different ones, right? But listen, if you are a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's bigger than anything you can follow. Any business leader, any political leader, any sports leader. That's the biggest thing that you can be following. If you belong to the kingdom of God, you're a disciple of Jesus. And you're called to help other people grow as disciples. He said, teaching them all that I have commanded. What was Jesus' main command? If you remember, it's three words. Love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it means. That's what it means. And so there we are. We're teaching one another. So the life groups, if you haven't joined a life group, I really want to recommend you join a life group. I know, I'm married to a person who has some social anxiety, right? It's difficult sometimes because at the end of the day, it's like, oh, do I want to go? I'm not sure I want to go. And then, you know what? Every time that you go, especially in a life group where people are caring for each other, where we're learning the Word of God together, it's so vital to be a part of something like a life group. Last one. Let me stop there for a second. There's a guy, his name was David. Speaking of people teaching one another and being born into the kingdom, his name was David, and David was... he was a guy who called up. I started a church very similar to you guys here. This church is 3 years old. We started a church back in Maine in a town called Bangor. Anybody been to Bangor? Raise your hand if you've been to Bangor. Okay, a few of you guys have been to Bangor, Maine. So we started a church in Bangor, and we had a bunch of young college students come and knock on doors, right? And they knocked on doors, and they invited people to the new church that was going to start, right? One of these guys, he said, I want to meet the pastor. And his name was David. He'd filled out the form, and he said, I want to meet the pastor. And so that afternoon, I got in the car because I was energetic. You know, I was kind of like, oh, we got to get this church started. I drove across the river to Brewer, Maine, and I knocked on this guy's door. He was in a side apartment of one of the great big kind of old lumber houses that were built way back in the day. And so I knocked on his door. He said, come in. I opened the door. And remember how I mentioned about what it would kind of be like in here if you took the socks and shoes off? You know, that's kind of what hit me, right, in that moment. So here's David. He looked like Santa Claus, right? He looked like Santa Claus, except no red suit. He was sitting in his Fruit of the Looms, in his Lazy Boy chair, great big bucket of delicious, greasy Kentucky Fried Chicken sitting next to him. So, you know, that, and then a stack of Playboy magazines to the left of him, and just an apartment full of stuff, like just it wasn't a big place, but full of stuff, dirty laundry kind of around everywhere and stuff, and he invited me in, and I'm like, all right, here we go, right, here we go. And so I come in, and David starts to tell me his story. And in that moment, somehow our hearts were knit together. He told me the story of how addiction to alcohol had really messed up about the last 40 years of his life. He'd been clean for close to a year. He had a family back in North Carolina that he was estranged from because the addiction, those of you who are familiar with what addiction does in life, it really creates a lot of interruptions and a lot of difficulties. And so David told me his story that day, and I listened to the story, and he said to me, I try to go to the church where we have the recovery meetings. They let us use the basement for the recovery meetings, but when I go upstairs, it's all, everybody's in a, like they've got ties on and they look very formal. And he said, you know, he didn't show up at church in his Fruit of the Looms, I don't think. But anyway, he didn't show up. He just kind of showed up and dressed as he was and whatnot. And he just wasn't as comfortable there. I'm sure the people were nice. And he said, what kind of church are you going to start? And I just said, well, we're going to start the kind of church where anybody can come to church wearing anything they want to and hopefully can just have a sense of feeling loved and accepted. And he said, I want to be the first member. And he became literally the first member of our church. We met in a hotel conference center, so we had to set it up and tear it down every week. He built us he built the first thing that transported our piano in and out. We had an electric piano, but it still had to kind of go. It was kind of heavy, so it had to go on a thing. He built that thing. He didn't have family. They were back in North Carolina. But what happened in the course of that church, one of the ladies in the church who joined the church, she adopted him as her dad, basically, made him, her dad lived, you know, a few hundred miles away. She adopted him, and she would bring him to church every single week. They became family. And the love that just happened. His recovery continued. He was healed from alcoholism. He gave me his card. He had a card. It wasn't his real name on the card. It said Reverend Ashford Smith. I still have the card in my scrapbook, right? What he used to do, he would scam people for money because he needed money to buy alcohol. He lived all over the states. He would scam people with this laminated card, Reverend Ashford Smith. He turned that card over to me. He said, I won't need this anymore. I won't need to scam anybody anymore for alcohol. He was delivered from that. And he came to this place where he, as part of this Wesleyan church, he was adopted. He had a stroke 4 years later. And the woman who had adopted him as dad, made him family, she arranged for him to be in an assisted living place. And every time I'd go to see him, he would say, I was so glad I became a member. I was your first member. And he would say, I live now in the nicest place I've ever lived in my entire life because of what God did through this church. And I have a family now. Because of what happened. That's what this is. That's what this is about. That's why we're here. Because God wants people to have a family. God wants people to be loved. And so the last one, just to wrap it up, is that we're a temple of worship. Remember I said about transcendence? There's something more going on. When I was walking in nature yesterday with your pastor, and he's showing me the different, you know, mountains and different hiking and, you know, all the beauty, there's something more going on, folks. God dwells within us, and God created all of this. And so we're not just a building, we are a group of people who understand something more than the average person. And our whole role is to help everybody else to understand this God who loves us, every one of us, no matter what. This God who loves us and accepts us and wants us to be family, no matter where we're from, no matter what we've done, no matter what's happened in our lives. And that's a God worthy of worship. That's a God worthy of my best. And so we worship together. So be the ambassadors. Be that embassy. Thunder Bay, the region around Thunder Bay, this region needs you. It needs you to be a united, loving group of people that crosses all the boundaries that the world wants to put up, right? World puts up boundaries and labels us. God says, no, 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 no. Love one another. Be my people. And so be ambassadors. Be the people who are helping others to be healed. God does the healing. God does the delivery. Like he makes new, but he asks us to participate and help. Teach one another. Really get into the Word. Learn the Word of God together. Learn what the Scriptures say. It's incredible. And then worship. And why? Why do we do all this? Why do we do it? It really does matter for now. It matters in a big way because we all need love. But folks, it matters even more in the sense of there's a moment coming. We think of that moment where everybody's born and everybody physically dies. Do you realize there's more to it than that? There's an eternity beyond that God is calling us to. Jesus, when we pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, what Jesus is going to do when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring it all together. When humans rebelled, when humans said, we'll be gods unto ourselves, we'll create our own gods, we'll fashion gods for ourselves, we'll make gods like money, we'll make narcotics or alcohol into our gods, we'll make other things, we'll be gods ourselves. When humans did that, it brought what's called sin into the world. It made this massive gulf, and it separated. God didn't do it. We chose to do it. We chose to walk away. So why did Jesus have to come? Because he's the one who brings heaven and earth back together. And at the cross, when he died on the cross and was raised from death, that was the moment where heaven and earth was brought back together. And now the project is all of us are sent out to continue to give that message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus comes again, it's going to be so much more than you could ever, as it says in Ephesians, ask or imagine. It's going to be this incredible day. So we anticipate this. It's the anticipation that gives you hope in the hard moments. It's the anticipation that gives you hope when we lose a loved one. It's the anticipation that gives you hope when you're disappointed. It's the anticipation of what's going to happen. When we read to our children, what does the end of the storybook says? And they lived, right? Where's that come from? Where's that idea come from? And have you seen anybody in this world live happily ever after? People discover joy, love, joy, peace, patience, but there's a happily ever after coming because of Jesus. And that's why we're here, because we are the first ones to experience it, and it's going to come in such an amazing wave of love for eternity, happily ever after. God created that, and he's going to bring it all back together. And so that's why we're here. That's who we are. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you because I'm your teammate and I'm your friend. I'm your pastor's friend. I'm your teammate. And I just thank you for being family here in Thunder Bay, for what you're doing and what God's going to continue to do through each and every one of you. As the worship team comes back, let's lift our voices and just praise this God who loves us beyond what we could ever, ever imagine. And let's just give it all to him. Thanks so much for this chance to be with all of you today.
You can stand with us again as we close in worship together. Thank you.
Still into love, 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 your good, good.
time. He is good. That's my new favorite thing. I'm going to do that every week now. I just want to remind you quickly about the barbecue we are inviting on Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night we will be having our barbecue and bonfire. You are all welcome. We would love for you to come and help us welcome the neighborhood. And don't forget about life groups and Freedom of Christ. It's the last week to sign up, and we would also love to have you there. Have a great week. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week.